And to refresh our minds, we'll read that first section, those five verses. Says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, concerning all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commandments through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he presented himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, appearing to them for 40 days and speaking concerning the kingdom of God. Being assembled with them, he commanded them, do not part from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. We mentioned last week about Theophilus and who he was, and that Acts is in many ways a continuation of the book of Luke, of the gospel according to Luke. He in Luke had recorded many things about what Jesus did and taught. And now in Acts, he's going to reveal what the church did and what the church taught. And so it's one continuous history beginning with Jesus and going all the way through the beginning of the church, and how the apostles and others carried out that great commission that Jesus had given to them in Luke chapter 24, about where they were to wait in Jerusalem, and then when they received power on high, then they were going to start preaching the gospel, starting in Jerusalem, then in Judea and Samaria, Galilee, and then all the way throughout the world. And of course, the book of Acts records how that great commission was carried out. So Luke and Acts go hand in hand. We also briefly talked about the various appearances that he made to different people that's recorded in the Bible, showing that he indeed was risen from the dead. And of course, this separates Christianity from all other world religions, because other world religions don't have their Messiah, their Savior, if they have one, being resurrected. And so this is very unique. And Jesus presented himself alive to large numbers of people during the course of these 40 days. The 40 days between the time he was resurrected and the time he ascends. And then in verse 4 is about where we stopped last week. He's with the apostles. He tells them, don't depart from Jerusalem. And here he says is the reason not to depart, but you need to wait for the promise of the Father, of which you have heard from me. Jesus had told them about the coming of the Holy Spirit and what the Holy Spirit would do for them. Going back to John chapter 14, remember John 14, 15, 16, and 17 records what happened in the upper room before Jesus' betrayal. And in John 14, verse 26, this is one of the places where Jesus says, verse 26 of John 14, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. So the promise had been given to the apostles that they would receive the Holy Spirit. And one of the things the Holy Spirit was going to do for them was to reveal all truth to them. Jesus had not revealed all truth to them, only some of it. And so they were to wait when they received the power. That's when they received the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was going to reveal all truth to them so that they could reveal it to others. And that was the plan. That was the only plan that God had, and that was the way it was going to be carried out. And several other places talk about that as well in John. Jerusalem was prophesied as the city where the kingdom would begin. And we read last week from Isaiah chapter 2, where Isaiah prophesies about the coming of the house of God, the kingdom of God. It would come to Zion, which in the Old Testament refers to Jerusalem. And that's where it would begin. And then from Jerusalem, all nations would come into the kingdom. And that was the promise. And this promise of the Holy Spirit, in verse 5, it says, "For John baptized with water," and we know that John the Baptist did indeed baptize with water. Many people came to him to be baptized, we read about in the accounts of the gospel. He preached a baptism of repentance, and we know about what John did. But he says, "But you," and this is strictly talking about the apostles, that's the context. Going back to verse 2, the promise is to the apostles, not to other people. He doesn't promise Spirit baptism to other people here. It's just to the apostles. And he says, "You, the apostles, will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So there, the Holy Spirit baptism was going to happen in just a few days. Now we go to Luke, at the end of Luke, Luke chapter 24, Jesus tells the apostles what's going to happen to them. Verse 49, near the very end of Luke's account of the gospel, Luke says, and this is Jesus talking, "And look, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But wait in the city of Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high." It says you wait because in Jerusalem you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit. When you're baptized with the Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power from on high. And again, that was strictly given to the apostles. It was not given to any other group of people, just to the apostles. Then, verse 6 and 7. "So when they had come together," the context is still talking about the apostles and Jesus, "they asked him, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?' And he said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or the dates which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" So first of all, verses 6 and 7. The apostles had been with Jesus more or less daily for 3 years or more. They had heard him talk about the kingdom. They had heard him tell parables about the kingdom, like the ones we have recorded in Matthew 13. So they had heard a lot about the kingdom, but there were still things they didn't know about the kingdom, especially when it would come. Because he replies, "It's not for you to know the times or the dates." That's why they were to wait in Jerusalem. Because when the Holy Spirit came upon them, when the power came upon them, that's when the kingdom was going to come. And so if you go back to Mark's account of the gospel, Mark is talking to a group of people, I think it's in Mark chapter 9, and he's telling them that the kingdom is going to come in the lifetime of some of the people to whom he's talking. And so the kingdom is not something future in the sense that there's no way that the kingdom has came yet. So the kingdom was going to come with power. The apostles were going to receive power in a few days. And when they received power, the Holy Spirit was coming upon them. And that's when they were going to have truth revealed to them. And that's when they were going to start preaching about the gospel of Christ. That's when they were going to start preaching baptism for the remission of sins. So all of that was going to happen, as it says here, in a few days. Yes.
Verse 6, "Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel?" Shows that they did not understand about the kingdom yet. They were still looking for a physical kingdom.
That's right. Even though Jesus had been very specific to them, and that shows how hard it is to get some preconceived ideas out of your head sometimes. It really does. It's a classic example. Yes?
Well, Israel, up to this point, had been ruled by everybody.
Oh, yeah. All kinds.
Yeah.
Every world power.
And they
want it out from under all that. Yeah. That's right. So that notion, that idea that had been around for centuries. And so they didn't have this clear idea, but that's what the Holy Spirit was going to do. That's why Jesus told them back in that upper room discourse, he's going to send the Helper, because the Helper, the Holy Spirit, he is going to guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all the truth about the kingdom, what it is, what it's about, what the citizens of the kingdom are going to be about, how one enters the kingdom. So all of that the Holy Spirit's going to make clear to them so that then they can start making those things known to everyone else. And of course they do that in Acts chapter 2 on the day of Pentecost. That's when it starts. So a lot of things are kind of coming to a head here in basically 10 days. All right, good, very good point. So they are certainly concerned about what's going to happen. But the prophecies in the Old Testament told about the coming of the kingdom, what was going to happen. I mentioned back in Mark's account of the gospel in Mark chapter 9, verse 1, where Jesus says, you know, during the lifetime of some of the people I'm talking to, the kingdom's going to come. And so, you know, the time between Mark chapter 9 and Acts chapter 2 is not that long. A few years. So there was this prophecy, even by Jesus himself, about the coming of the kingdom. Daniel talks a lot in the Old Testament about the coming of the kingdom. In Daniel chapter 9, or Daniel chapter 7, I'm sorry. Daniel chapter 7. Verses 13 and 14. This, of course, is one of the dreams that that there is, the Daniel's vision. And he has this vision in verse 1. He has a dream and visions. and he writes it down. And then in verses 13 and 14 of Daniel 7, he talks about something in those visions. He says in verse 13, I saw in the night visions, and there was one like a son of man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. There was given to him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. And his dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. And prior, some of the visions Daniel has talks about kingdoms that would come and go. In that vision of that great big statue made up of different metals, talks about different kingdoms that would come and go. They would be here for a while and then go. But Daniel says, the Son of Man, the referral being clearly to Jesus, he is going to be given a kingdom, but that kingdom will never go away. And he received that kingdom when he went to the Ancient of Days, when he ascended to the Ancient of Days, of course, God the Father himself. And we'll talk more about the ascension in a moment. But when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, in the first chapter, he talks about this this kingdom and this ascension in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 20. Talking about what God the Father had done, which he, God the Father, performed in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in that which is to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and made him the head over all things for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all things in all ways. Again, he is showing how Christ, when he ascended, is given power and authority, glory, sitting right there at the right hand of the throne. And all principalities and powers and all these things that he mentions are in subjection to him. So, he was going to be given a kingdom. And he was going to be given a kingdom by the Father. And this happened when he ascended to the Father. So we know the time scale, if you will, of the coming of the kingdom. So in verse 8 then of our text in Acts chapter 1, Jesus is still talking to them and says, "But you," again specifically to the apostles, "but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." The apostles, as we read, would receive power when the Holy Spirit came upon them. This is the baptism of the Holy Spirit. This is a very specific baptism. This was given to them to enable them to have the authority and the knowledge to reveal all the truth of the gospel, which they began doing in 10 days from in 10 days from Jesus' ascension. So they wait in Jerusalem for 10 days. So this must happen sometime like a Wednesday or Thursday. And then in a week and a half on that Sunday, then they open up the kingdom with that first gospel message. But they had to have that power, as we'll see when we get to Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. They received power, and they had to have that power. Because that power was necessary for them. Number one, they were to speak to a vast multitude, tens or hundreds of thousands of people who spoke different languages. The apostles only knew one, probably, maybe two. So they had to be given power to speak in languages they had never studied. And so they were unknown to them as far as learning. They weren't some sort of a so-called heavenly language and or anything like this. This was a language, a real language. And they had to have power to speak those languages they had never studied. And so the Holy Spirit gave them power to do that and gave them the knowledge to reveal that truth. And it was necessary for them to have it. So they had to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. This was the promise that the Father had given them. And that's why they had to wait in Jerusalem. And the apostles would then become witnesses to Jesus beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. Of course, this is where so many things had happened. Jesus had spent time in Jerusalem. Jesus, you know, had the trial in Jerusalem, was betrayed there, and all of these things happened in and around Jerusalem. And that's where the beginning of the kingdom would come. If we go back to John chapter 15, this is another instance of something Jesus taught the apostles in the upper room. In John 15, beginning in verse 26, he says, "But when the Counselor comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will bear witness of me. And you also will bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning." He says, you're going to bear witness when the Spirit of truth comes. Because the Spirit of truth is going to help you bear witness. So that is why we today aren't witnesses like the apostles were. The Holy Spirit has not came upon us like it did them. And they were able to bear witness of that. The apostles could be witnesses of Jesus' resurrection, of Him actually being alive, because they had actually seen it. They had actually seen Jesus after He arose. If we go down to verses 21 and 22 of Acts chapter 1, and this is where we're going to finish tonight, In Acts chapter 1, this is when in a little bit they're going to be choosing another apostle to join the 11 because, of course, Judas had hanged himself and was dead now. Verse 21, therefore, of these men who have accompanied us while the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the very day that he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness of his resurrection. So the apostles were witnesses of a risen Savior. And so the people that were in this pool to choose from had to have witnessed the resurrection. And that, of course, is why the apostle Paul had to meet the risen Savior on the road to Damascus. Otherwise, he couldn't have been an apostle. He couldn't have been a witness. So you and I today can't witness like the apostles. We have not seen the risen Savior. And so in that sense, we cannot witness, or we are not witnesses because we have not done that. We've not received the Holy Spirit like they did. We did not see Jesus after he was resurrected. And so we shouldn't use the term witness in that sense because we can't witness like they do. Well, that's probably a good place to stop. But does anyone have another comment there? Lord willing, we'll start with verse 9 through 11 and next week where he talks about his actual ascension. Anyone have a comment? Or yes?
Well, he gave us this right here. And if we study it and we understand it and we believe, then we, in turn, become witnesses to him. We go out into the world to try to convert others.
That's right.
So in a way...
We do it through the Word.
Through the Word.
Yeah. Not through Holy Spirit baptism or things like that. That's right. Any other comments? Okay. I will go get them.